Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. Now it's your turn at 877-301-8970. As Marjorie said just a couple of minutes ago, earlier today we spoke to Brian McGrory of the Boston Globe, the editor of the Boston Globe, about the noon release of much information from the bid itself to the press and public. To Juliette Kayyem, who is part, I mean, she's a consultant. I don't know what she is exactly. She's working with Boston 2024 on security concerns. I think she's leading that effort. But what happened after both had left us is we were alerted to a piece in the Boston Globe by Michael Levinson. I think it's short enough, Marjorie. I think I can read the whole thing. Is that okay?
Go right ahead, Jim. Do a dramatic reading.
If you're a Boston City employee, there's now an official decree. Don't badmouth the Olympics. Documents obtained by the Globe through a public records request to City Hall show Mayor Walsh has signed a formal agreement with the USOC which bans city employees from criticizing Boston's bid for the 2024 Games. The Joinder Agreement, as it's called, forbids the city of Boston and its employees from making any written or oral statements that, quote, reflect unfavorably upon, denigrate, or disparage, or detrimental to the reputation of the IOC, the USOC, or the Olympics in general. Instead, the USOC and the Walsh administration must, quote, work cooperatively together to manage, complete, and promote the city's bid. Boston City employees shall each promote the city's bid in a positive manner. End of discussion. Now, by the way, we reached out to Mayor Walsh's office, and by the way, he's kind enough to spend an hour here every month, but his office says he is not available. Unless I am missing something, it is one thing to say a city employee as part of his or her employment shall not criticize, I don't know, a policy of the city. This is a private venture. Boston 2024 is a private venture. It's been endorsed by the man who runs the city of Boston, but there is essentially an agreement that any, and what happens, by the way, if an employee of Boston violates this agreement and says, I don't think it's such a good idea, I'd rather they invest in my schools, do they get fired for violating this code of speech?
Well, let me say, I think this is probably not the best idea that Mayor Walsh has ever had. And I think when people start criticizing this, as they will, that maybe he's going to rethink this idea.
If he can.
And
I mean,
the point that we've had to find this out through a public records request is a little disturbing as well. Apparently the Globe had to go look for this, and it wasn't something that we knew about before. This just looks like everybody's in the bag. Everybody's in the tank. I mean, this is not a good thing. and it undermines, again, you know, listen, it undermines, I think, the confidence that the public might have that this is going to be all done in an up and up. Let's look at what's best for the people of Boston, the taxpayers of Boston, the taxpayers of Massachusetts, that the people that live here are going to be considered first in a kind of Olympic bid. And, you know, this is not a good thing.
877-301-8970. So what do you think about this? And by the way, again, we reach out to the mayor's office. We may be missing something, but it appears not. There's an agreement that you can't say, if you work for the city, you can't say anything negative about the Olympics. In fact, you have to affirmatively promote. You have to speak positively about this. And again, what it doesn't say in the article by Michael Levinson, and it's possible it's not in the agreement, what's the consequence? If you violate this and you work for the city, you've worked there 27 years, and you say something as innocent as, I respect the mayor, but I don't think this is a good idea for Boston because it's going to take away from other priorities the city has. Are you no longer an employee of the city of Boston?
Well, you know, the other thing is the reputation of the International Olympic Committee, which Boston employees, City Hall employees are now enjoined from mentioning, is pretty terrible. I mean, we've all read about the scandals that Mitt Romney was credited with cleaning up to a large degree in Salt Lake City, but we've read since then about the request for massive amounts of free liquor and all this fancy food and, you know, that there's all this shenanigans going on, that there's this kind of high roller aspect to these people from members of the Olympic Committee coming in and throwing their weight around and making all these crazy demands like they're, you know, some rock star in the back room giving you a detail of everything they want to have in their dressing room before they do a show at the TD Bank North. They have not had a good reputation. So, I mean, you don't – what this says to me, and maybe I'm wrong, we just read this story in the last couple of hours, but that Marty Walsh wants a spin on this, and the spin is – that the Olympics are going to be great. I don't want anybody taking away from that notion or casting aspersions on the International Olympic Committee.
Well, let me amend that.
I don't mean to get carried away, but it's a little upsetting.
By the way, Marjorie said we haven't known about it except for the last couple of hours. We actually haven't known about it except for the last couple of minutes.
That's right.
So we would have brought
it
up with Juliette Kayyem and Brian McGrory when it appeared on the BostonGlobe.com website. I'm assuming, and again, we haven't heard back from the, we have heard back that the mayor's unavailable. I'm assuming this is standard operating procedure. I'm not defending it, that when you are picked by the United States, you are required to sign this. The troubling part of it is, at least based on the story, is that one, as you say, we weren't told, were it not for this public information request by the Globe. And two, the second troubling thing is particularly from a mayor who has said, to his credit, if the people of Boston don't want this, then we won't have it. The notion that there is a piece of tape across the mouth of the people who work for him about a private enterprise, Boston 2024, is troubling. Maybe we're missing something, and maybe you'll tell us otherwise. 877-301-8970.
Well, people probably know that Evan Falchuk, who ran for mayor on the United Independent Party,
governor.
And actually he's got the
governor.
I'm sorry, ran for governor, and he got the United Independent Party, right? He had to get 3% of the vote, and
they're
he
now
achieved
an official
that.
Party.
So they're
yep.
now an official party. And he has been talking about having a vote on this, that people should be allowed to vote on whether they want the Olympics to come here. I think this will add some fuel to the fire of Evan Falchuk and his crusade to get a vote on whether people want the Olympics or not. Our number is 877-301-8970. Let us start with Abraham from Worcester. Hi, Abraham.
Yes, hi. How are you, Marjorie?
Great.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for letting me on. My initial reaction was this is infringing on the freedom of speech, which is kind of obvious, need not be said, but for employees, not specifically the Olympic employees, you know, for all Boston employees, it's really ridiculous. And this guy, he's new in office, and we're talking about a constitution that's been around before he was born, you know, and I can't see how this does not infringe on that and limit our powers of freedom of speech, obviously. I mean, this is not going to win any popularity votes, obviously, and we've been, as a nation, we've criticized those in power and the programs that they've made. That's part of what makes our union strong. So,
yeah, but Abraham, the only thing I agree with virtually all you say, the only qualification I want to make is one I made a couple of minutes ago. I don't know what the law is or the rules of the game are, but I don't think it's unreasonable for an employer, the city, to say its employees cannot be publicly criticizing what the city itself is doing or some such thing. I have to think that through. But again, this is not a city enterprise. It's a private enterprise, Boston 2024, a private enterprise that the mayor has signed on to. That's what's doubly troubling to me. And again, we may hear that this is standard and that it's no big deal, but I am at least so far totally with you. Abraham, thanks for the call.
Art from West Bridgewater, he just emailed and said, didn't the late Tom Menino, mayor of Boston, have something similar? No city employees were allowed to speak favorably about anything proposed by Don Shafaro.
Art the developer,
of course,
right.
Referring to the developer that Menino and Don Shafaro did not see eye to eye on lots of things, and Shafaro's efforts to build skyscrapers down by City Hall were thwarted at every turn.
You know, the timing of this also, I would argue, cannot be worse.
I should say.
On the day when the Boston 2024 is finally disclosing information on the bid, and one of the criticisms, and by the way, Marty Walsh would have to fire himself because two months ago, Marty Walsh was agreeing with us that there was a transparency problem. So he was essentially criticizing Boston 2024. Now that they're finally allowing the sun to shine on at least some of the information today at noon, to have this story appear on the same day is really, I would argue, a real public relations problem.
877-301-8970. What do you think of this edict that city employees cannot issue any written or oral statements that, quote, reflect unfavorably upon, denigrate, or disparage, or are detrimental to the reputation of the International Olympic Committee or USOC or the Olympic Games?
By the way, for our colleagues in there, I know you reached out to the mayor's office and he was unavailable. Can we also reach out to Boston 2024? One of their spokespeople was with us yesterday, Dave Wedge, who's written a book about the marathon bombings. Can we try to see if Wedge is available to join us to explain why we shouldn't worry about this thing? Thank you very much. Let's go to another person in Worcester. That'd be Dan. Hey there, Dan.
Hi, Margie and Jim. How you doing?
We're
fine,
excellent. Thank you.
Great. Deplorable on the mayor's part. I think that people, even if they work for the city, have a voice of their own. It's a free country. You can say what you want. You know, Marty wants to squash this potential referendum. He doesn't even want that to go before the voters. And, you know, it's not just the Boston thing. This Olympics comes to Boston, which is a ridiculous notion to begin with. Boston is a tiny little town. We can barely go there on a Saturday on a nice sunny day without hitting all kinds of traffic. Can you imagine people from all over the world coming to Boston? What a nightmare. But I think that we should have a referendum on it. Let the people, because you know damn well it's going to go right into the pockets of the taxpayers. Unless Marty wants to sign a document and give it to me that states that I am not going to have to pay any taxes on it, fine. Other than that, let's have a referendum on the whole issue and stick it, like Jim just said, let the sun shine on it. And
thank you very
much. Dan, thanks for the call. And by the way, did I read yesterday? I believe I did. Didn't Los Angeles, in defense of this Olympic committee, maybe they're looking for the same thing. I believe that when Los Angeles took the Olympics, was it 84? The only way they agreed to do it was if there was any overage, the International Olympic Committee was on the hook for it, as opposed to the city of Los Angeles. I believe that's true. And I assume that the effort on the part of the mayor is to get us there. 877-301-8970. But with all respect to Dan from Worcester, today is not our day to debate yet again whether the Olympics coming to Boston in 2024 is a good idea. Today what we're talking about is a story just brought to our attention by BostonGlobe.com and Michael Levinson, is this so-called joinder agreement, which prohibits any employee of the city of Boston from saying anything unkind about — those aren't the terms, the legal terms — but anything unkind about this Olympics effort. In fact, they should promote it. And the question that we're trying to get an answer to is, what happens when you violate this edict? Are you a former Boston City employee?
Barbara says, this is just another case of letting some air out in the sports world. Very good,
think
Barbara.
About it for a minute, people. 877-301-8970. You know what the beauty of this Olympic story is? You and I, and this is horrible, only if you're in the media to do this, so don't hate us for this, is there certain stories that you know are going to have a life that is endless. And one of the beauties of the Olympics thing, even if you're against it, is until 2017, until the decision is made by the International Olympic Committee, this is all Olympics all the time. And then if we happen to get the nod from the International Olympic Committee for 7 more years, not to mention the after effect, we get to talk about this as well. Every day there are multiple stories. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's one of those. I mean, it's the snowball getting more bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. When more people have a chance to make more money from this, the pressure from the business community is going to be huge. Let's cheerlead for this. Let's cheerlead for this. I mean, it's already started to happen.
But there's also pressure on the other side, Marjorie. I mean, anybody involved in this, from John Fish to Marty Walsh to any of these people, are aware that the public's major concern is about taxpayer dollars and overage, a la virtually, you know, a huge percentage of the Olympics. They are all pretty smart people. And one has to assume, while we know we only have a $25 million insurance policy so far, which is absurd, I mean, it's nickels and dimes, they have to be working on something, I believe, that is in black and white, not just their goodwill, that guarantees that an overage will not be taken out of our paychecks.
Well, I think the thing is, in Massachusetts, we're unique in some ways because, as Governor Patrick, the former governor, used to complain about people being cynical around here, and I used to say to him, you haven't been around here long enough to understand why people are cynical. I mean, you know, we've had 3 speakers in a row indicted. We almost had
convicted.
Convicted.
One of them's on my show
tonight.
Tom Finneran is with me on NECN,
by
the way.
He is, okay.
Way,
well, he was convicted. And DeLeo was supposedly the current speaker of the unindicted co-conspirator in the probation trial, where they were rigging jobs up at the State House. We have the Big Dig, which was a very similar situation. We were all supposed to be getting all this money from the federal government. That didn't quite turn out. We have a problem with trust in our legislature here in Massachusetts. And this is one of the issues. And that's why I've been so cynical about this, because it's kind of like, you know, being a juror in the O.J. Simpson case, and everybody that's testifying is from the police department that you found out is corrupt. It's hard for people to believe, if you're paying attention, if you follow this all these years, and I've been a reporter, so I have, that they're giving you the straight story. What you see is there's millions and billions of dollars here to be made. And when there's all that money to be made, the pressure is going to be huge to just keep going, put the spin
on.
You
were criticizing John Fish of Suffolk Construction.
He did a great thing.
And he recused himself from any bidding, even though since he's the biggest, I believe he probably would have gotten a huge percentage of it through the competitive bidding process.
I've said it 10 times. Good for John Fish for saying, I'm not going to make any money at Suffolk Construction. Now, our buddy from this old house, Richard Trethewey, says, well, he's not going to make any money from Suffolk Construction. What he's going to do is he's going to start a new company called Norfolk Construction and let the party start. Anyway, Madeline from Rosendale. What do you think, Madeline?
Hi, Madeline.
I voted for Marty Walsh, and I'm really regretting it. This seems absolutely draconian, and this is happening less than a week after he fired that part-time youth worker for taking part in the Black Lives Matter protest. I mean, the guy seems like a tyrant. And, you know, I just can't wait for the next mayoral election so I can campaign for somebody else.
Well, I have to say, I think the sample size is fairly small so far. And for those who don't know what Madeline's talking about, one of the I-93 cement drum highway blockers turned out to be a city employee, and they did fire the person that worked for the city, I think, for a couple of months. I have to assume, and I may be ridiculously naive, Madeline, there's going to be some explanation for this. It may not be adequate, but Marty Walsh is another one who's not a dummy by a long shot, and I think he knows the public is not going to be crazy about this notion that people's right to speak out about something is being infringed at the same time that he's talking about we need to know that Boston supports this. So maybe give him a little more time. By the way, when he's in studio, which he'll be quite soon for an hour, give him a call and tell him how you feel. Madeline, thanks for the call.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I still think this, you know, this woman was a part-time employee. She took a personal day without pay.
Yeah.
You know, and this, the issues that Black Lives Matter are pushing is very, very important. I mean, I realize there were some unfortunate incidents related to that particular protest, but it wasn't her fault. And to fire her just seemed...
Well, defending him and his decision, but we should say what his position was, that she was endangering public safety by her behavior.
And broke the law.
And did break the law. And so, again, that's not a defense. I'm just saying that's what his explanation is, and people have to decide. Madeline, thanks for the call.
And the difference, obviously, is you're not breaking the law by being critical of the
not
International
yet.
Olympic Committee. That's right. Here there's going to be a new law. That's what's doing about Beacon Hill today. They're passing laws to say you can't criticize the Olympics or else because,
Marjorie,
you know,
there's an officer waiting outside for you with a piece of paper that has your name on it.
I know. Well, listen, I'd like to be proven wrong, and maybe I will. Maybe we'll have the Olympics in 2024. We haven't even won the bid yet, but maybe we'll win the bid in 2017. Everything will be great, and we'll have the rowing up in Lowell, and that would be wonderful for Lowell, and we'll have the sailing down in Newport, and we'll have this whole thing that Shira Springer outlined in the Globe where we have all these different venues.
Tennis
maybe
and
it'll
Queens,
be
right?
Terrific, but I just, as I've said, you know, these kinds of things have real consequences, and one of them in Massachusetts is that we're still paying massive tolls on the Turnpike. We can't fix the MBTA. We have a story in the front page today about these MBTA trains not even working.
Walter Robinson.
I mean, a lot of these problems have to do with all the money we spent on the Big Dig.
So, essentially, just to be clear, you're undecided on the whole issue. Let's go to one more.
I've earned my cynicism in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Dan from Wilmington, you're going to wrap it up. Hey, Dan.
Okay, yeah. First of all, we're talking about a very large issue here. If Marty Walsh wants to stop his employees from commenting or using city facts and figures on a comment of the Olympics, on the Olympic bid, I think he has a right to do that as a manager. In terms of those people coming out and having a personal statement, they can do that. I mean, that's part of their First Amendment rights. However, I worked at the 80 Olympics in Lake Placid mm-hmm. as a chauffeur for the protocol division,
yep.
serving the International Olympic Committee members. I mean, we have 2 years here to have a committee, many committees, pulling together facts and figures and trying to plan plans are useless, but planning is invaluable. And the idea that we can actually come together as a community to bring together these various points of interest is immense. I mean,
yeah, but Dan, do you know how you come together in a place like ours? You have a debate. And to have a debate, everybody's got to be able to participate. And by the way, if the earlier point you were making was on work hours, they shouldn't be campaigning against the Olympics, that's perfectly fine. If when they go home to Roslindale or to wherever they go, and maybe this doesn't limit them there, but it appears to, the notion that they can't speak their mind as a taxpayer and citizen of the community, to me, is ridiculous. Speech is what gets you to consensus. But Dan, thank you for the call.
Okay, we now have a statement from the mayor's office, and I'll read it to you verbatim. Mayor Walsh is not looking to limit the free speech of his employees and as residents of Boston. Ooh, misplaced modifier there. He fully supports them participating in the community process. This was standard boilerplate language for the joinder agreement with the USOC that all applicant cities have historically signed. The mayor looks forward to the first citywide community meeting that will be held next week.
And by the way, it's attributable to Laura O'Jerry, who is a spokesperson for the mayor. So thank you for that comment. I'm sure we'll talk about it in the future, including with the mayor himself when he is here.
Okay, up next, we look at the making of the Great Society, the bundle of enduring legislation that President Lyndon Baines Johnson signed into law a half century ago. It's the subject of a new book. We'll talk about it next on 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio.